This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Let's come aboard.
Man, I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Thursday to you, boys and girls. One question only. How do you feel?
Well, I feel good, and I'm doing well.
That's all that really matters when we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you want the ability to adjust your loan options in real time, Rocket can. We thank you for being with us this fine Thursday morning. We await to see where Le'Veon Bell will land. Reports are that he's deciding between five teams. Apparently, it is the Chiefs, Bears, Raiders, Patriots, and Dolphins. That's what NFL reporter Benjamin Albright is reporting. Our next guest holds every significant rushing record for the Carolina Panthers organization. And he's also working alongside Crown Royal this week. Joining us this morning here on the show is Jonathan Stewart. Jonathan, good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing good, man. How are you? How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I appreciate you jumping on in. Jonathan Stewart, an 11-year NFL Pro Bowl running back. And has, you know, this been such an interesting season for so many NFL players, both former and current. The other night, we saw a Tuesday night football game. That included the Titans and the Bills. We saw Derrick Henry absolutely annihilate Josh Norman. Did you wake up in the morning or wake up at night praying, dreaming to hit a defensive back like that when you were playing?
I mean, that was extremely incredible to see. His strength while running the ball is like none before. That's why they call him a king.
I mean, it was just phenomenal to watch for all of us, and that is an embarrassment. You know, the Le'Veon Bell situation is interesting. You know, do you think that Le'Veon Bell goes to a different team and still has good football left in the tank? Because we haven't seen him play really elite football in 3 years.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, a lot of people right now are in limbo about, you know, his production. But I think you have to just remember that he is still Le'Veon Bell. Given the right opportunity and the right fit in the offense. You know, you look at what they had at Pittsburgh, they had a great offensive line that allowed him to be a great patient running back. So, wherever he goes next, you know, he has to pick the best offensive line, in my opinion, and an offense that wants to run the ball and utilize the running back position. I look at the Bears right now, they've kind of found a different quarterback in Nick Foles. And hopefully that can open up things for the running game. But then again, you know, if they're not solid at the offensive line position, you're not going to have a lot of success. And, you know, anyone in their right mind would think, you know, going to the Kansas City Chiefs is a great fit. But, you know, they have a lot of weapons. So it's really up to him whether or not he is okay with being, you know, second, third, fourth fiddle. So I think there's still opportunity out there, and he's still a good running back. You know, just given the right situation, he'll be successful.
Jonathan Stewart joins us this morning here on the show. Without a doubt, it did not work in New York. What do you peg as the biggest reason it didn't work out for the Jets? Is it on Adam Gase? Is it on Le'Veon Bell? What happened?
You know, you never, I mean, as a player, you never want to throw blame on anyone else. You know, you control what you can control. And I look at Le'Veon's situation, you know, his health and not really being available. A lot of those things, you know, you can't control, and there's some of it that you can as far as your preparation and being ready. You know, on the Gase thing, a lot of people seem like they're, you know, tired of his decision making, and so I mean, there's you can go either way, but for me, I think it's just not the right relationship. Period. So, and that's where we see, you know, them cutting ties, so that way Le'Veon can go on and find a way to be Le'Veon again, and hopefully the Jets find some success.
You know, the break point for the Jets, it seemed like, was Le'Veon Bell over the weekend liking tweets about firing Adam Gase. You're a big user of social media. What do you think about players using social media in this way to kind of say things without saying them?
I mean, it's a little, it's definitely him throwing shade, and he can do without. You know, there's no need for you to go on Instagram or Twitter. He's lashing out a little bit, his feelings and expressing himself. So I think you're allowed to express yourself. But I think right now, given the situation, there's definitely a lot of attention that can be put in, you know, other departments, such as finding another job. And you don't want to ever do anything to prohibit that from happening.
Carolina Panthers all-time leading rusher Jonathan Stewart joining us this morning here on the show. More than a decade in the NFL. We learned yesterday that the NFL will not hold a Pro Bowl this year. They will name the Pro Bowl team, but not actually hold the game. You know, with how little the intensity is around the game, and knowing that you could name a Pro Bowl team and not have to play a football game, do you think players would just prefer no game anyway and just have the nominees and the team named?
Yeah, I think that's a crucial, like, you know, decision that's being made right now. The importance of guys right now and their health, I think, is the awareness of health is probably at an all-time high as an athlete, where you have guys that want to take care of their bodies, that know the importance of playoffs and Super Bowls. And when you have, at the end of the season, you know, another game to put on, you know, display for the fans, you're putting yourself at another potential risk of, you know, season-ending injury, where you have to go into the off-season, and now you're rehabbing. Those are all fears that guys have when it comes to the Pro Bowl games. And, you know, getting rid of that for this year might set, you know, a trend going forward. And I'm pretty sure a lot of guys, you know, like that idea. There's some guys that enjoy playing in the Pro Bowl, especially if it's their first one. But I think after you know, get over the first one, you're pretty over it. So
yeah, and also now we're gonna have a 17 game NFL schedule, so you're asking the players to play another game coming up here, and then the postseason.
Yeah.
They're really gonna want to suit up for the Pro Bowl. You are working on behalf of Crown Royal, and being a Royal fan this season means staying safe, supporting your community, drinking responsibly while rooting on your team. That's how Crown Your Game Day works. So what can our listeners do to celebrate with Crown Royal this football season?
You know, just pretty much, you know, don't be the fan that ruins game day experiences for your other friends. And part of that is taking water breaks in between drinks. You know, you have a crown in one hand, And then you have a water in the other. Just drink responsibly, do it in moderation, and, you know, just continue to support the local communities this season, especially this season with everything that's been going on. Support the, you know, the community the best way possible, generously.
Jonathan Stewart, all-time leading rusher for the Carolina Panthers, joining us this morning on the show. Jonathan, great stuff this morning, man. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Jonathan Stewart, our guest this morning here on the show, advising you to drink water in between each drink. I wonder if that means that maybe 27 drinks without water could be bad?
With dehydration, perhaps.
Our poll question this morning at CBS Sports Radio is taking something from your parents without telling them considered stealing? This has been a topic of conversation this week because over the weekend, Mraz went to Bob's Bar, which is, of course, his dad's establishment. And this was at his dad's bar. He took a pie. An apple pie. He took multiple cookies that he shoved in his pockets. He took a bag of chips. And he also took a bottle of Proper 12, which is Conor McGregor's whiskey. And he took it without asking. And when Danielle called him on it at the house, he said, "I don't have to ask. They're my family." And when he was defending it here on the show today, also he said, "They're my parents." Okay, so it's not stealing. So we're asking you guys on Twitter, is it stealing if you take things from your parents without telling them? So vote on the web poll at CBS Sports Radio.
John got stupid genes from his father's side.
What'd you think about Connor Green last hour doing ballpark bacon?
Look, I'm a big fan of Connor. I think he hit on some jokes there, and I think he delivered. Now, I would also say that was very obvious that he pre-recorded that last night. When the lights came on, I would have liked to see Connor deliver. I would question how many edits he had. But overall, I think he picked the three games.
Oof. Wow.
What
a shot. I mean, the
guy does a mockumentary me for 15 minutes. I can't come and take a shot back at him?
Well, I mean, he did Canadian Bacon Live for a full week, and he was flawless at it.
I don't know about flawless. Look, the kid's got chops. He still needs some work. There's no doubt about it.
Does he?
But I would say the three games he picked were three good ones for sure. For sure.
Okay, you picked the right games.
The right games were picked.
Did you like the jokes?
There were some jokes that absolutely made me laugh. Some that, you know, maybe I thought you guys gave a little fake Seinfeld laugh track to. But the Marley and Me one got me really good. It wasn't my cup of tea. And I prefer other
bits. Oh, really?
I prefer other bits, but that's, you know.
Was it your cup of tea?
Wasn't my cup of tea. I thought, you know, it fell a little flat, let's just say.
Really?
Yeah, it fell a little flat. A little flat.
Uh-huh. Huh.
Yeah.
Well, I thought out of all the punishments that we have run you through for tweeting during the wild card round, that was my favorite. The avatar is good. Tweeting 14 positive things about the Rays, that fell flat because you were very sarcastic during it. But having Connor relive your three worst moments as a Yankee fan and seeing you get frustrated, throw a pen, put your hands over your face, having to listen to the Johnny Damon Grand Slam.
Yeah, that was annoying. Yeah.
It was excellent. That was really excellent.
That was a bit much. But we're going to look. I've paid my penance.
Penance.
Penance. I've paid my penance. I got to roll with Dick Vitale the rest of the way here.
Pronounce it penance.
Penance.
Pen. Remember, it's pen, not peen. Pen.
Pen. Like your friend Pensner. It's Pensnitz.
Penance, yeah.
Penance.
Yeah, okay.
So like you pay your penance. Like Yankees aren't winning pennants.
That's right, yes. Yeah. Spelled differently, but pronounced the same way.
Okay, got it.
Homonym, I think.
Homonym.
I don't know if that's right or not. When we come back here on the show, Sam Acho is going to join us. We'll talk college football with him. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
It's the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Thanks for being with us, everybody. Damon Amendolara with you. The DA Show rocks and rolls every single morning, 6 until 10 Eastern Time, 3 until 7 Pacific. There are so many ways you can listen. Listen to us across the great CBS Sports Radio Network. Also, check us out using the CBS Sports app on your phone or radio.com. So many of you listen via the radio.com app, which is awesome. You could tell your smart speaker to play CBS Sports Radio, or you could always listen to us on SiriusXM 206 as well. Standing by for our headlines, it's a kind sir, good friend, Andrew Bogish. Mr. Bogues, good morning.
DA, good morning. So here we go again. The Atlanta Falcons have shut down headquarters today because of multiple COVID-19 positives. Rookie D-lineman Marlon Davidson tested positive after playing against the Panthers on Sunday. Carolina is now living under the NFL's more stringent protocols, including masks and gloves, even during practice. The Falcons, meanwhile, for now, scheduled to play the Vikings on Sunday. Hall of Fame defensive end Fred Dean has reportedly died at just 68 because of coronavirus. He played for the Chargers and Niners, winning two Super Bowls with them. He had 93 career sacks. From college football, Nick Saban and Alabama AD Greg Byrne testing positive yesterday. Saban says he's had no symptoms. He will run everything from home over Zoom for now. Pending today's test results on players, Bama still playing Georgia on Saturday. As for actual football, number 21 Louisiana leave off the Lafayette for savings. Took a 30-27 tumble to Coastal Carolina last night. The Chanticleers are 4-0 after beating a ranked FBS team for the very first time ever. No sweep in the ALCS last night. The Astros solved the race for an evening, 4-3 in San Diego. They got the win partially because Dusty Baker left Zach Greinke in the game in the sixth with two on and one out, and their team up by two.
I can't lie to you. There were some prayers involved in there on the way back to the dugout. You know, he was approaching that 90-plus mark. I mean, the hottest hitter in the playoffs. I don't know. Sometimes they work and sometimes they don't.
It worked last night with Greinke K-ing Randy Arozarena, who had already hit a two-run homer off of him. After G-Man Choi's infield single, Greinke struck out Michael Brasso, which I thought was impossible, to leave the bases loaded. The Dodgers left 12 men on base in Game 3 of the NLCS, but 15 others came in to score, 11 of them in a record-setting first inning. Max Muncy's grand slam finished off the highest-scoring frame in playoff history.
That was kind of our whole goal, is just carry the momentum over from last night. You know, I felt like we put together pretty good at-bats right out of the gate, and you know, we got the bat to the ball pretty good, and good results happened for us.
His Dodgers scored four in the ninth of Game 2, losing by just a run. Then last night's early explosion, it led to a 15-3 final, which cuts their deficit in the NLCS down to 2-1. Game 5 of the ALCS starts at 2 Pacific today, Game 4 in the NL at 7 Central. The Dodgers will have Clayton Kershaw on the mound for that one. Conor McGregor says he will fight Dustin Poirier January 23rd. McGregor would like UFC to put that one in Jerry World in Dallas, and once that's over, McGregor still wants to box Manny Pacquiao. And MLS last night, they call it the Hell is Real Derby, the rivalry between FC Cincinnati and Columbus. Since he got its first win, hold on, I'm getting there. Since he got its first win in the head-to-head last night, 2-1 after four losses and a draw. Now, you may ask, why is this called the Hell is Real Derby?
Yeah.
Apparently, there is a sign, an infamous sign on the interstate between these two cities. It's been there forever. It's Hell is Real. It's from a pastor. It's meant to be like a religious statement, but it's taken on this like infamous tone in Ohio. It's a little bit of pop culture.
Phenomenal.
So this is the Hell is Real Derby between these two clubs, and FC Cincinnati won it last night.
Oh, soccer is just filled with the quirkiest, weirdest rivalries and nicknames and signs and team names and moments. There's so much that's crazy and bizarre, and that is just one of those. And the regional rivalries and the intensity of fans, it's just phenomenal. I've always said that the MLS's greatest hook for generations moving forward is going to be the fan experience. Every time I go to an MLS game, the fan experience is next level. If you sit in the supporter section, and I've gotten to sit in supporter sections in New York with the Red Bulls, or at NYCFC, or in Houston with the Dynamo, the list has gone on and on, Kansas City with the Wizards, now Sporting FC. It has been always this incredible experience. It is so much fun. And those everybody just has such a good time. It's not angry like European soccer. It's not overly drunk and intense like you might think. It's just fun and fun-loving, and they love it, but it's just energy. It's all energy, and this sounds the same way. The hell is a real derby between Cincinnati and Columbus. It's just phenomenal. That's great. We're going to have Sam Acho join us here on the show coming up in a few minutes. We'll talk some college football and NFL with him. But we were kind of poking fun at Mraz a little bit because yesterday you might have heard he said that when he wrote the topic list on Sunday night for us, he was three sheets to the wind. He had had 27 drinks, he claims, over the course of the day watching football. But he said he was laser focused. He said he was absolutely locked into writing that topic list for us on Sunday night.
I knew I had a job to do. And when I have a job to do, I deliver.
And then it just so happened that somebody called him on his BS, okay? So there was an informant that sent us a video. You might hear another voice on the video. This would be his wife, Danielle. He said he was laser-focused. He was writing this topic sheet. Let's hear how laser-focused he is after 27 drinks.
And the pie is ruined.
The pie's not ruined. I should have done with this. We're going to have a little pie.
No, we're not. You're going to bed.
I'm not.
Yeah, you are.
See what I'm making.
You're going to bed.
Seahawks Vikings.
Remember that there is a moment yesterday where Mraz is like, I was just going to do the job, and then I was going to go right to bed. I didn't want to stay up. I didn't want to continue the party. I just wanted to go right to bed after I did the topic list. And here we actually have evidence of Mraz saying, no, I'm not going to bed.
I should have done with this. We're going to have a little pie.
No, we're not. You're going to bed.
I'm not.
Yeah, you are.
See what I'm making to you.
You're going to bed.
As soon as I'm done with this, we're going to have a little pie. That's because Mraz stole a pie from his dad's house and shoved his pockets full of cookies and stole a bag of chips and a bottle of whiskey.
And I think put the pie in a backpack, which is why Danielle begins with the pie is ruined, because it was put sideways into a backpack and then lugged home, which is not the way a pie is meant to travel. This, by the way, is my favorite part that I mentioned last hour, because that's almost a romantic, like, once this is done, babe, we're going to have some pie. Like that to me, that's the highlight. We're going to have some pie in a second. No, we're not. No, we're not.
Pie's not ruined. I should have done with this. We're going to have a little pie.
No, we're not. You're going to bed.
So Danielle has to say, no, we're not. You're going to bed. And Mraz is trying to convince us that on Sunday night he was on the straight and narrow, laser focused, knew his responsibilities, and was going to be going to bed.
That was arguably the best topic list I've had in a month. I did acknowledge I had to watch the Seahawks-Vikings game. There was a job to be done. And Seahawks-Vikings in game was all one word there. It should be acknowledged. I was getting it out quick.
The Seahawks-Vikings game. No, since we're done here, we're going to have a little pie. No, we're not. The Seahawks-Vikings game.
Seahawks-Vikings game.
You're going to bed.
I knew who was playing.
Pete, can we play the first clip that we played last hour as well? Because this one is great. Mraz has to write prevail in the topic list. And Danielle says, can you spell prevail? And he begins singing Old MacDonald Had a Farm.
What's going on here? This I prevail. I don't know.
Spell prevail.
P-R-E-V-A-I-L-E-I-E-I-O.
I'm not. It's not funny.
Can I do a moo moo and then I say a cow here and a cow there and a cow everywhere?
Does this sound like a man that is completely laser focused, disciplined, and ready to go to bed?
E I E I O. With Hong Kong here.
You guys got the list. You got the topic list. You got me.
Also, Cap right now is playing the video at watchda.com. That's available on any device. That's also available on Twitch right now. And it is Mraz, legs kicked up in an Ahmad Bradshaw jersey, Giants shorts, and Giants cozy socks, as he has a laptop in his lap, and his eyes are almost closed. He's about to just keel over. He's swinging his head back on. We're going to have some pie.
I was laser focused.
Seahawks Vikings game. Yeah. Honk honk here and honk honk there.
Seahawks Vikings game.
You're going to bed.
You think Mickey Mantle never homered after a night out of the town? I was the Mick.
Yeah.
The pie's not ruined.
The pie is ruined, Sean.
No. I shouldn't tell me this. We're going to have a little pie.
Ah, you're going to bed.
Still don't know this. You guys sit down. It's an amazing night. We're going to have some pie. It's going to be romantic. No, we're not. You're going to bed.
E-A-I-L.
E-A-I-L. E-I-I-O.
E-I-I-O.
Honk, honk there. A moo moo. Go to the cow.
Honk here.
A honk, honk here.
A moo moo. And then it's a cow here and a cow there and a cow everywhere.
That sounds like a locked-in, laser-focused executive producer of a nationally syndicated sports radio show getting ready for the day.
It was a tough...
Yeah.
It's been a tough 2020. All right, I had a fun Sunday. Let's relax. I didn't commit armed robbery here.
Hey.
Well, here. Yeah.
I could only imagine the executive producers of, let's say, the Jim Rome show, like Hawk, Sunday night... sending Romy the topic list, just absolutely blitzed in the bag, singing nursery rhymes.
Hey, that's not fair. He's got 3 extra hours to work with on the West Coast.
Okay, do you think Mrs. Paul Pabst is sending these videos to Dan Patrick before his show and going, look what Paulie's up to right now?
Come on.
Our next guest, NFL linebacker. He was on the Buccaneers last season, but he's also a renaissance man. He's a speaker. He's a podcaster. He's also working hand-in-hand with the community, doing some amazing things there. He's got a new book named Let the World See You, How to Be Real in a World Full of Fakes, which is out now. Joining us this morning here on the show is Sam Acho. Sam, good morning.
Good morning, DA. How you doing?
I'm great, buddy. How you doing?
I'm great, man.
Okay, so your book, How to Be Real in a World of Fakes, is perfect for this moment right now in time, especially football-wise. This weekend, Le'Veon Bell goes on social media and starts liking all of the tweets about Adam Gase getting fired. Now, is that being real or is that being fake? Because he didn't actually say it. He just liked other people on social media that were saying it.
Well, that's definitely being real. And sometimes there's these cases, people say when keeping it real goes wrong.
Yeah.
I don't think that's going wrong. I think that's keeping it real. Obviously, you saw with Jamal Adams, some of the people say he was a disgruntled player and he should have stayed. Well, he decided to leave, went to Seattle, and Seattle obviously is doing unbelievable. Well, fast forward, you see Le'Veon Bell get released, and Adam Gase says, oh, we don't want him. He didn't want to be part of the team. Let's get rid of him. And now you see what happens. And so, yeah, I think... first of all, with Le'Veon Bell and Jamal Adams, those are two really good players. And sometimes you got to listen to the player, right? The coach might say one thing, but the players, if a multitude of players are saying, man, there's something about this culture or this team, it might be wise to listen to them.
So you played in the NFL. You have played, and you continue to hope to play as well as you're a free agent right now. When you looked around NFL locker rooms, both coaches, staff, maybe PR, maybe media, where did you see the fakes?
Man, in all reality, and that's a lot of what my book is about, you see it everywhere, not just NFL locker rooms. You see it in businesses. You see it in bars. You see it at home a lot of times. I saw it in myself. I saw myself pretending to be something I wasn't, right? Even in the NFL, right? People know I'm a Christian, and so it's like, oh, well, I would get mad or I would get in a fight. And guys would be like, well, hey, man, you're not supposed to get mad. Christians don't get angry. And I'm like, nah, dude, I'm a fierce competitor, a fighter, a warrior, and I love God. You can do both. Right, people also know I love learning. Right, got my MBA from the number one international business school in the world. I didn't even tell any of my teammates because I didn't want them, or my coaches, or the scouts, or the general manager to think that I wasn't fully invested in football. You talked earlier about being a Renaissance man, and so, anyways, I saw the fake within myself, but I also saw it in locker rooms and everywhere, really.
So when you say, you know, you were hiding who you were because maybe you felt like you didn't fit in, did you eventually just go, okay, all these things that I've accomplished, the person that I am, I'm just going to put it all out there and then see how people respond? What was the turning point?
Yeah, in so many ways it was. It wasn't necessarily, it's two pieces. You know, part A, it wasn't just all the stuff I accomplished. It's more so like who I am, right? Part of the accomplishment is, yes, you know, MBA and all the things. But who I am is somebody who loves people, right? I'm super like emotionally intelligent, or you could say sensitive, call it what you want, right? I just feel for people and with people. I wanted to sit and listen and learn, and most celebrity athletes don't do that, you know? And so that's not an accomplishment. It's just part of who I am. And so it finally got to a point, actually it was a week before my fourth year with the Chicago Bears, a week before training camp, and I remember just sitting down and being just devastated because all the stuff on the outside that people saw didn't match up with what was going on the inside in my heart. On the outside, it looked like things are going great and you're awesome and life is good. On the inside, I was really, really struggling. And so I remember sitting down with a friend who is a guy who happened to be there for me. And I said, man, I just need to get back to football. I just need to get back to the season, get back to my job, and I'll be okay. And he knew about some of the struggles in my marriage with me pretending, in my relationship with my kids, friends, family. And he knew about that. And I said, I just got to get back to football. He said, hey, man, if that's how you are right now, if that's how you feel now, I'm actually worried about what happens when football's taken away from you, when you retire. Right? And so he's kind of just talking me through this. To answer your question, it wasn't just a point. I just said, I'm going to go and be me. Right? As we're kind of having this conversation, I found myself 6'3", 260 pounds. I found myself in tears, crying at a restaurant in Chicago. And he looks at me, my buddy who's known me for the last 10 or so years. He looks at me and he says, hey, Sam, it's really nice to see you. I'm like, what do you mean? He said, it's good to see you. It's good to see that you're human, right? And so you talk about this idea of, like, letting the world see you with a book, my book that just came out yesterday, 2 days ago, right? It's available on Amazon. Your book, this is an idea. But most importantly, to be loved.
Sam Acho joins us, NFL linebacker here on CBS Sports Radio. And as he mentioned, new book is now out. And that is Let the World See You. A lot of people deal with a lot of things that you just mentioned. What was the problem in your marriage that you needed to identify?
Yeah, I was just pretending, man. We all have our ways of coping, right? So if I was angry or whatever, I didn't want anybody, including my wife, to see me get angry, right? I wanted to act like I had it all under control. Around that time, I started talking to a therapist. As my therapist, as my counselor says, he says, hey, man, the body keeps the score. Body keeps the score. So you could try to pretend and suppress all you want, but sooner or later, it's going to come out. For some people, it comes out in bursts of anger. Some people are drinkers, right? Some people, I mean, it's like we have these different ways of coping. And eventually, my body was saying, Sam, you have to stop pretending. And then also with my kids too, right? Like kids, well, I got a 5-year-old, a 3-year-old, a 2-year-old, love my kids, but I'm all of a sudden getting instantly annoyed, instantly leave me alone, get out of here, whatever, you know? And it's like, that's not me. Like the real me wants to hang out and play and love them well. And so something was missing. And so for me, even honestly going to counseling was super helpful. Just talking about my emotions, right? The dude I met with, he said, hey, I got a question for you, Sam. He said, what do you do when you get angry? And my response was, well, I just try not to get angry. And he said, well, come on, man. Just let me know. What do you do when you get angry? And I said, I just don't get angry. And he looked at me again. He said, Sam, he said, everybody gets angry. So what do you do when you get angry? This was a week after my talking with my first friend who saw me in tears, whatever. He said, what do you do when you get angry? And as he asked me again, if I could just pierce right through my soul, and I just started to break down and cry. And as I'm now crying in front of this counselor, he looks at me and he says, hey, Sam, taps me on the shoulder. He says, it's nice to see you. Right? It's nice to see you. And so we all have different sides to us, right? All of us, we have, you know, there's like a child a little bit, a little kid who just wants to play and have fun and go out with the guys and do your thing, right? But then they're also and that last piece that oftentimes can come out is the shadow, right? The shadow, the piece that says, oh, you're not good enough, or you got to go harder, or no one's going to love you in so many ways. And what I realized was that my adult, the one who said, hey, I understand that, I understand that you're tired, right? But you've got to still you got to get rest, take care of yourself, all the things. I wasn't really being me. I wasn't letting the real me, right, the little kid in me come out.
Sam Acho joins us. He played his college ball at Texas, has played in the NFL for the Cardinals, Bears, Bills, and last year the Buccaneers. So let me ask you about seeing you honestly. You're a free agent now. You played for the Buccaneers last year. The Buccaneers, obviously, right now, are a very good football team with designs on a deep playoff run. Does it hurt you that they're doing this without you?
You know what? It doesn't, but let me give you a big but, right? Because I was watching the game last Thursday, right? The Buccaneers versus the Bears, two of my former teams, my two most recent teams. And I was actually rooting for the Bucs in a lot of ways, right? I thought I was going to be back in Tampa Bay. My last meeting with some people there last season, the exit interviews, they said, we want you back. That was what I was told. But see, I also, like I said, I'm a Christian, so I was praying, like, God, is this what I really want or where I want? And I really felt like this feeling like, man, hey, I feel like God said, hey, Sam, you're going to play as long as you want to play. Right? And with that being said, it seems as if a lot of the desires of my heart are starting to shift. Now, if I'm being totally honest, if there's a team I want to go back to, it's probably Tampa Bay. It's the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, right? I played there last year. Those are my same coaches from when I was in Arizona with Bruce Arians and Todd Bowles. I got a lot of respect there. And so if they did call, I probably would, you know, I probably would say yes. It's not a 100% answer, right? Because like I said, with the book coming out, right? This book got up to number one on Amazon in the football category and also number one in football biographies. I'm getting a chance to speak and encourage people and let them know the freedom that I got from being me as well. But to answer your question, I'm not hurt that they're doing well. Now, granted, when Chicago was doing well last year, and as soon as I left, I was hoping they were losing some games, right? Like I was glad they were 8-8. You know, and so it took me some time to heal a little bit. Now I'm rooting for the Bears. Got a lot of good buddies who play for the Bears. But yeah, I think I'm transitioning in a lot of ways, DA, to life after football.
Sam Acho joins us this morning on the show. So Mitchell Trubisky is an interesting case study for what you're talking about, being real, being honest, being yourself. It has felt like at times Trubisky, by virtue of being the number two pick overall, has tried to wear the cloak of the franchise quarterback without actually being honest about who he was. It feels like he's kind of acting a little bit. When you were there, did you feel like Trubisky was honestly the guy, or was he trying to play the role of the guy?
Yeah, I disagree in a lot of ways, and maybe I'm a little bit biased because, you know, Mitch is my homie and I've played with him for a couple years. I think any player, any human, anybody, right, who's in any job, you believe that you can do it, right? Most people believe, a lot of people, even me, sometimes I didn't believe I could do it, but I got to, you know, some people say, man, believe, and then it's going to happen, right? With Mitch specifically, if you go back and look at history a little bit, his first year as a quarterback with John Fox, I think we had Mike Glennon at quarterback as well. He got thrown in, end of the season, right? And everybody knew what we were doing. We were run, pass, right? Run, pass, first down run, second down run, third down pass, predictable. Second year came in, okay season. But then you saw what happened when he had 2018 with Matt Nagy as a new coach, right? 12-4, you know, setting records, Pro Bowl, et cetera. So I wouldn't say there was any pretending with Mitch. Anybody who knows Mitch knows Mitch keeps it real. Mitch is Mitch. He keeps it real. So I wouldn't say there's any pretending. And even the quarterback competition this specific offseason, right? You believe you're the guy. I believe I'm the guy. We all believe we're the guy. And Mitch actually was chosen in a lot of ways to be the guy. And then he throws one interception, then he gets benched, right? So for me, that's not him pretending. That's maybe whoever made the decision that said you're the guy. That guy could be pretending, you know what I mean? And so I just never saw it. So I see it a little bit differently. I see it a little bit differently. And I see Mitch, if anybody keeps it real, keeps it 100, it's Mitch and a lot of those guys in that Bears locker room.
Excellent stuff. Sam Acho joining us this morning here on the show. The book is Let the World See You, How to Be Real in a World of Fakes. It's on sale now. As you just heard Sam mention, Amazon, it's very high in their rankings, number one on the football list, so easy to find. Very good reviews right now. Let the World See You. That's the title of the book. Sam, outstanding stuff, man. Thanks so much. Hopefully we can do this again.
Oh, absolutely. Thanks so much, DA.
My pleasure. Sam Acho joining us this morning here on the show. Good stuff. When we come back, we've got your advanced analytics and your epic fail. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
no one knows what analytics is. They think it's like a bunch of nerds doing math, which I don't know, maybe that's what it is.
It's time now for the Mothership's Advanced Analytics.
Perez grabbed food and a bottle of liquor, a bottle of whiskey from his dad's house, but claimed it wasn't stealing because it was, quote, his parents, even though they didn't know. We asked you guys today as the poll question, is it stealing if you take things from your parents without telling them? 80% said, yes, it's stealing. A bottle of proper number 12 Irish whiskey goes for $21. West Babylon's crime rate is lower than approximately 30% of New York communities. In an Ohio State National Longitude study, 16% of participants reported having something stolen in the past year.
Boy, digging deep.
Let's get to your epic fail of the morning, boys and girls. Once again, Mraz is at the epicenter.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
The video is so good because it is Mraz sitting on the couch with his jersey on, his Ahmad Bradshaw jersey on, his giant shorts and giant cozy socks.
Socks. He's got socks on too. Jersey shorts, socks.
And his legs are up on the ottoman part of the couch.
And I got an oopsie.
And he's got the laptop in his belly, in his lap. And his eyes are open about 10%. He's got the biggest bleep-eating grin on his face. He looks like he has just had the greatest day ever. It looks like he just finished up 25 beers with a nightcap of the whiskey that you would steal from your dad. And he is just on cloud nine. And Danielle asks him to spell prevail. And he goes, P-R-E-V-A-E-I-E-I-O.
Old MacDonald had a farm. E-I-E-I-O.
P-R-E-V-A-I-O. E-I-E-I-O.
And he says, with a honk honk here.
It's not funny.
And he's
kind of do a moo moo, and then I say a cow here and a cow there and a cow everywhere.
And on his farm he had a cow, E I E I O, with a moo moo here and a moo moo there.
He's giggling, and he says with a moo moo. He's giggling. I mean, he looks like he's half asleep.
Right, he's teetering on his right side. He might tip over. Maybe.
The cow!
He's 10 sheets to the wind. He's saying a little honk honk here and a moo moo here. And this is what Mraz claims is laser focus.
Can I do a moo moo? And then I say a cow here and a cow there and a cow over here.
That's my wife's Mraz. Got some nerve, by the way.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
You know in Toy Story how Woody sits? He has his straight back and his legs directly up because he can't bend his knees.
There's a snake in my boot.
That's exactly how Mraz is sitting on the couch. His back is straight up. His legs are straight out. And he just looks like Woody from Toy Story if Woody had just drank like 7 pints of alcohol. 7 pints of paint thinner. E-I-E-I-O. With a honk honk there, a honk honk there. God bless Danielle for being our informant on this. It's just so damn good. Oh my God. Craig tweets, the visualization of Mraz stuffing his pockets with cookies has officially made my morning. Mikey tweets, maybe one day Pete the Body can add, oh, with bacon. After Mraz says, we're going to have a little pie. Yeah, I think that might
with
be.
With bacon.
tomorrow's show, we'll add that. Oh, with bacon. Want to have a little pie? Oh, with bacon. Thanks to Sean Mraz, executive producer and cat burglar extraordinaire. Thanks to Pete the Body Bellotti, the Wheels of Steel and audio director. Thanks to Andrew Bogish on your headlines. Thanks to Andrew Kaplan, the Wizard of Watch DA. We'll see you tomorrow. Be good and be good to one another. The Mothership disconnects.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.